It's been a long time. And from what we can tell, it hasn't been a good time. Not for us personally or for MAFS.
Couples are struggling.
Before we went on our extended break, for obvious reasons, I had so much, or we had so much hope, maybe so much, maybe as one couple, or all the hope was tied into one couple. And then we could kind of see things faltering with a lot of couples. Mm-hmm. And then Becca and Austin just, it all crumbled and we had no hope.
And then Claire Bear out of nowhere, a wild card. Always had weird vibes about her, but really couldn't take it seriously because I had nothing to go off of.
Claire Bear is a surprise villain that I never saw coming. Now, I thought she would be the villain of their relationship. I did not foresee just the overall villain of the show.
Had no idea. Would have never guessed. And I know people go back and forth on if Claire really is a villain, but to me she is, because she goes against so much of what I think you should do in a relationship and with friends in a relationship. So I can't support it. Today we are covering Decision Day. That was many weeks ago. You guys have way more dirt and details, and there's been episodes since, but we still want to cover it. We'll slightly cover kind of more generally problems that the couples faced, but like, let's be honest, this episode is about the pizza party at the end.
You know, there's something special coming when the main point of the episode, the decisions, they're over kind of in like the midway break, and you're thinking, why is there so much time left in the episode?
And you know it's good. And it did not disappoint.
You knew about the pizza party before I did.
Yeah, I watched everything before you.
And you did your best to not give me too many details or too many hints. Okay, but again, I'm like casual viewer here, casual viewer hat on. It delivered. It was hot. It was cooking. I was engaged.
But I was losing you during the decision day. The phone was slowly inching out. And I was like, no, you really have to pay attention to this part. Hurry, this one.
See, this is a bummer about this season. It's just when couples have already, I feel so bad saying like given up or quit, but like that's really what it is. I mean, you ended the marriage. So when they decide to end the marriage so early on in the process, this is just the reality of it. It's almost like as a viewer, you kind of start checking out of the process yourself as far as your commitment to view the show. And I do wonder if that's reflected in viewership numbers en masse. So for example, as more and more couples fall, does viewership fall? Because again, if we're here on decision day, these folks didn't make it 2 weeks into the process. I almost like want to play with my phone because I'm like, why am I going through the spiel of hearing all of this when I know it's going to be a no?
I think viewership has to be down because I feel like on this show specifically, we want couples.
They pretty much struck out this season.
Completely.
Now, what are your thoughts if they come back with the next season and the formula doesn't change at all?
Oh, man.
Because the way the formula is made right now, it is obviously not working. I don't want to put it really on Denver because we have seen it in other cities, but the trajectory is like not good.
I have very high hopes for the next cast. It has already been revealed. I like their faces. That's what I'm going off of right now. That's all I have.
So are you judging a book by its cover?
Absolutely. That's all I have. There's no words yet. And I like their faces. I like all of them. I'm always so hopeful at the beginning of every season, and I love all the weddings, and I think everyone is so cute, and then we get to this point.
Correct me here. Are we going to Atlanta?
I think we're going to Chicago.
Okay, Chicago. Chicago will be cool. Good restaurants, good vibe, interesting points, but let's reel it back in. We're starting to get out of the mindset
here. Too excited for the next season already. We're not even done with this one. Okay, so I think a big part of the issue is how they are getting couples. So, of course, the majority of the blame is on how they choose individuals and then how they put couples together. I don't even know if the experts are even truly involved in this show. Like, let's be honest. Are they making the matches? Probably not.
On that point, something that was a reoccurring theme, and this is a point where I can't blame the experts. There was way too many couples that essentially said they just didn't voice things on purpose because of how they would be reflected on TV. Yeah. Now, do you think people would be more honest if that relationship was maybe solid or they saw a future with this person? They were more open, more free to express themselves versus thinking, you know, I don't really know. Well, excuse me. I'm leaning towards a no. So how much am I really going to commit to this? A la, the cameras are here. We're going through these processes. But I know it's going to be a no.
I think that is also a huge factor because no one really wanted this. I guess I'm trying to say, like, no one was that into it on the male side. I mean, is that a general consensus that we can come to that the guys just weren't as into it? Aunt Claire?
Well, my thought is that you'll just be less engaged and you're thinking, why am I going to bring this up? Because I don't want to move forward with this person. So why am I going to bring this up to allow an expert to sort of try to massage this together and make it work?
Yeah, why would you put in the effort, the time, all of that into something you don't want to put effort and time into?
Now, I can see again, casual viewer listening at home, I can see the counter argument where that makes sense, but then you have to allow love to grow. Yes, you can believe in love at first sight, it's totally fine, but yeah, I think a lot of the time, this is my personal opinion, a lot of the time, love does grow over time.
Okay, do you think attraction grows?
I think it does because in my mind, if you see someone and you think that's a beautiful person, but then you get to know them, you get to know their personality, who they are as a person, I think you become more attracted to them, in love with them. Like you really start to know the person. So to that aspect, yes, I think attraction can grow.
I think so too. And a lot of people on the show tend to view it as it's like an instant thing or it's not. It's there or it's not. You've made the decision at the altar and that's it. And that's going to set it all up.
We've talked about it before where we mentioned on the pod things you need to do with your significant other to like really challenge your relationship. We say that jokingly, but it's so true because you're able to witness this person's character, how they respond to things, how they respond to things when they're bad, when they're good. Now, in some ways, the way they respond, you can form more of an affection towards them. For example, you're out in a public setting and someone drops something, maybe some groceries. Does your significant other run over there and, oh, so sorry that happened to you and help you pick them up? Like, I feel like you have this feeling of like, that is a really beautiful person that is willing to go help someone. Mm-hmm. And like all these little things, they really start to build up this picture of what makes up a person. Do they hold the door open for people? I mean, mm-hmm. There's on and on and on. There's so many things that you can learn by giving it time that if you just took it as, I just viewed this person and this is my final opinion of who they are, what they will be, or maybe not that, maybe just how into them I am, I think is not fair. And I think in maths, we can tell it happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. And going full circle, I mean, that's exactly why some people don't want to work on it. They don't want to tell anyone the truth because there's no point. They're just waiting it out. Also, something I want to go back to because I brought up kind of how people are brought on the show and chosen. If I remember correctly, the majority, if not all the men from this season were recruited. They did not sign up for the show.
I was not aware of that, but I'm not cutting them any slack. You still find out what the show is about. What am I signing up for?
Oh, I don't mean that as in giving them slack. I think that's why it's extra terrible because they didn't even want to get married. They're just okay. So they were mostly recruited from dating apps. That's what I mean when I say recruited.
Something interesting. Now, this might come to a surprise from everyone listening at home. A few things that everyone says from every major city. One, traffic here is shit.
Well, accurate.
And two, dating here is shit.
I also believe that. We've never really had to be in the game, and I'm very thankful.
Everyone I've ever met from any major city says the exact same thing.
I think that's the general climate.
Now, what I'm getting to is, okay, we're all, as in folks dating, are agreeing to dating is shit in my metropolis. But here's a show that's willing to do the work and match you up with your quote unquote perfect match. And this is like hella quotes because I'm like, I don't know. But they're going to match you up with your perfect person and sort of give you the fast lane to marriage. That seems, one, very dangerous, but two, I'm not a single person, but if you're a single person, I can see how it could be tempting.
Really? Oh, I don't know. That DM comes in blocked.
I think there's just a lot of folks out there that are adventurous. They're willing to take risks. They're, you know, maybe a bit younger, and I'm surprised they just can't get people. And I don't know if this is a reflection of the state of the show, how people view the show, at least from a participant's perspective.
My view on it is sort of, yes, they fast track you to, quote air fingers, the perfect match. But I don't think these people take it seriously, one, because it was just like an exciting opportunity. And two, they probably have never seen the show before and had no idea like what they actually had to do. And so they were just like, oh, it's a reality TV show. We're going to go back to our own houses at the end of the honeymoon, right? Like we're not moving into this apartment. That's not real.
Something I think they were able to get away from this season is I didn't personally feel that anyone was, and not a knock on people that are, but like sort of that influencer mindset. It didn't feel like to me that people were engaging in that type of thing.
I agree to a level, but I do have a question about one particular person, and I don't know what the heck their angle is for coming on the show.
Sure.
Claire Bear. Why? Okay, so a theory out there is that like, oh, she wanted to grow her brand for when she graduates and all the things that she hopes to do as either, you know, a life coach, a therapist, whatever way she decides to take that degree. But is that something you would want in that profession? Maybe? I don't know.
If that was the case, I really hope it isn't, because I think that would backfire in the way things have kind of been playing out.
I think so.
But from a viewer just watching the season, I'm not getting sort of random shout outs to things or her really pushing things, or at least I wasn't feeling that.
No. And so that's why I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know. And if that makes sense, because she never even like, she doesn't have like a brand or something she's trying to sell us. If anything, Cam did that more, but I appreciate the hustle because I went to his website.
It's funny. I went to a trip to Denver last year for a work trip, and I was eating at like a strip mall or something, but across the street, and I sent you the photo, was like a bike repair shop. And I was like, Cameron,
is that the one?
Is this your shop?
But otherwise, I do think that is pretty good about this season, is no one had, at least it wasn't super apparent. Should we get into the actual episode now versus our like dumping about the season?
Yeah, I hope you guys have enjoyed our 15 minute just brain dump of all of our thoughts we've been hanging on to for weeks, if not months. But now we'll kind of start breaking down every couple's decision and kind of our thoughts on their journey.
So we start with Becca and Austin. Of course, every couple has to have a slow-mo getting ready life decision, dun, 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 like moment. Austin's just stressed me out. It was too chaotic. This man stays scruffy. No shave, no haircuts. We don't have time for any of that. Thankfully, he did show up with, I think, his beard trimmed. But I slightly lost it when there was a slow-mo of him putting his shoes on with no socks on. But then again, at decision day, he had socks on. But I was like yelling at the TV when he was just putting his foot into his shoe.
Which I think might be a bit more weird. Like, aren't you just sweating in the shoe?
Yeah, gross.
We had high hopes for this couple. Maybe too high. There was warning signs. And I think even we probably mentioned it, but it's almost like you didn't want to commit to that because you wanted to give them hope. and that there was a chance they would say yes.
There were so many similarities in hobbies, in maybe some views at the beginning. We'll get into the religion, but it felt just so solid.
Something I thought was actually interesting as I'm watching this, eventually I start breaking down like their differences and whatnot, but something I noticed was, I remember in the very first episodes, they made it such a big deal on Becca's medical condition and recent surgeries. And please, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, if not Ellie, they never mention that shit again, ever.
Basically ever. I know they do in a future episode when they were kind of doing, the ladies did a photo shoot, but I mean, up into decision day, it was kind of like the honeymoon and then almost nothing. We go into Becca's flashback on the relationship. And of course, it starts out so beautiful. She says, I want you to want me. I love liking you. Heavy stuff. And then it kind of takes a turn and she talks about the difference in intimacy and being wanted. And we know that was a big issue for them this season. I think it came down to attraction for Austin.
Now, here's a tip for us on future watches. So for Austin, we're thinking it's an attraction thing. They never really made it past a certain point in their relationship. They never consummated the marriage. Is that going to be a telltale sign in future seasons of this person is definitely not into it? I mean, as just naturally in this space, you should be progressing. I mean, sure, some people are slower than others, but you should be progressing. I mean, if you're essentially just halted, that's a huge warning sign that maybe this person's not into me, especially when this person's telling you how sexual they are.
Yes, probably if there's no intimacy as far as like progression of intimacy, probably. I mean, you don't have to go all the way. I don't think you have to in these 2 months at all. But I don't, probably the stalemate isn't a great sign. Okay, I'm curious. How do you feel about Becca putting on the pressure for the full intimacy, if you will?
I think there's probably a way that she's envisioned her life partner, and that's probably a strong point for her as far as how they show love and that connection. And I don't mind, and I don't think she was aggressive in the way it was done, like personally. Like, maybe because of the way Austin was portraying just his speed or his lack of speed of just in that aspect, maybe made it seem even worse. That was just my feeling towards it. And I know she kept, it was almost like any comment they made in specific nights, it was almost like anything I can do to like spice it up, I'm going to try to do. And I'm just like, I think in some ways she's trying to like make him more comfortable and make it a little bit more lighthearted, but he's just not giving her anything.
Nothing would turn me off more.
Oh, I see. Just saying,
if I'm like nervous or I'm not really feeling it and this person cannot stop bringing it up and now there's a pressure around it, like I'm fully pulling back. Now we're doing nothing.
But then do you think you should have a conversation about that?
You should have a conversation about it, but at the end of the day, like if someone doesn't want to, that's kind of the end of it, right?
I get it. But if they at least talked about it, I think it would have allowed her to pump the brakes.
He said repeatedly that he just goes slower.
Slower means different things to different people.
That's true. I don't know. I just think it would be such a turnoff to me.
Slow to some people could be sex on the second date.
Yes.
Slow to someone could be sex after 2 months.
Yeah. Their speeds were totally different, but I think it goes back to, and I hate saying it because I really like Becca, I just don't think he was attracted to her. And then he was heavily relying on, you know, he being slower, but then also the religion talk. Because if your best friend says you've never brought it up in 14 years, I don't know if it's a big part of your life.
This is something I wasn't a fan of this season. I think I'm not going to put it on only the men. I just think there was a lot of lying or not revealing the total truth.
Oh yeah, that's fair to say.
So Austin's way of saying I usually take things a lot slower, I would bet if we got a survey of his past relationships, that is a load of BS. It's just a way for you to hide the fact that you just weren't into her. That's my feel. Yeah. But
okay.
Again, it's tough to be like, well, do you just tell someone straight up like, I'm not that into you? Okay, thanks. Let's keep working on this relationship.
Well, and then when we get to Claire and Cameron, that's basically what happened. And that still blew up. So it's like, what do you do? And we talk about it every single season. Is it best to just go through the motions? Is it best to be honest? Is it best to not? Like, at this point, it doesn't matter. It's going to blow up regardless. Another big point of frustration for Becca was when Austin was seemingly a different person off camera versus on camera. And that's always really frustrating because you can't do anything with that.
I believe it was to describe like he was just a little bit more affectionate on camera.
More caring, more gentle, more attentive.
So do you think when the cameras are gone, it was basically like friend mode?
Yeah, big time. Could you
imagine that energy? Just you're in that space. Cameras are coming in. He's got his hand over your shoulder. He's like rubbing your hand and cameras are gone. And it's like a wall.
I don't think I'm protecting him. That's the thing, though. Like, if we're not moving forward at all, like, why do I have this allegiance to you?
That is interesting. Multiple couples mention that as far as, like, looking out for one another. It's interesting that they made that type of bond, but they weren't into each other as far as partners, romantic partners. They were, or, you know, having a relationship, but they still had the bond to at least cover each other. Maybe because they were going through the same experience.
I think just trying to be a good human at the end of the day. Like, yeah, you don't want to be with this person, but you also don't want to hurt them, which is nice. I can appreciate that. It's so funny hearing like the intros of everyone. And then we go to the couples and they kind of give us their understanding of the relationships. And then there's always this kind of awkward moment where it's time for decision day. And like, you have to make that transition. And it's never like an easy transition. Dr. Pepper says, let's see if they will fight for this marriage.
One thing I did think was funny when I was watching this, it's like no matter what is going on in these relationships, this is where you kind of take me out of the moment and I see and feel the production aspect of it. It's like no matter what is going on, we have to stick with the script. It's like, okay, you say something, professionals say something, and then, have you made a decision? It's like, okay, like these people are nosediving and they've been done since like 6 days in. Not this couple, but why are we even asking them the question?
Becca talks about how she didn't feel that she was being authentic with how she would feel. When she finally spoke up, Austin was worried about the optics and not about her feelings. She felt silenced and misunderstood. The word for the rest of the season I would like to present, silenced. Austin tries to express that he does care about Becca, but he doesn't think that she trusts him on or off camera.
Something to note here. It seems like everyone in some way does want to protect themselves as far as how they'll come across to the public, to everyone viewing at home. And quite frankly, for the most part, the folks that do that, they actually come off really bad.
Yeah.
Like really bad on TV. Like that is not working. Mm-hmm. So just a message to future participants, like it just seems like that does not work.
Okay. I was going to save this topic for later, but let me just interject it really quick. A lot of the girls right now, I haven't kept up on the guy social media, so they could potentially be doing this as well, but I'm not sure. But they're talking about how like heavily edited it is, and we don't know the truth, and they don't even know how the show's gonna end because it's so heavily edited. And I'm like, tell me you've never watched the show without telling me you've never watched the show. Like it's the most edited.
I mean, you mention it all the time, just the way they set up shots and how they're very close up. They're not wide shots. You don't get immediate reactions from people's comments. You know, you might be getting a reaction from something said earlier in the conversation that has nothing to do with what's going on, but it makes a very, very dramatic effect for television.
And later on during the pizza party, did you know that the women had like jackets on, jackets off, jackets on, jackets off?
A previous cast member, Miguel, he mentioned that they were recording until like 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just for a shot.
Mm-hmm. So can you imagine on decision day how many things are reshot?
Just speaking for myself, I would be incredibly annoyed if I'm here speaking my truth. And it's like, cut. Oh, something was off. Something was in your hair. Like, can we redo this? We didn't get the right angle. Can you just say that all again? I'm like, what? I have to like regather my thoughts. And then the emotion, it's almost not the same, right? It's mm-hmm. not that initial response that I would have. Now I'm acting my emotions out for the response.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that affects a lot. We get down to the decision. Becca says no to where this marriage has been, but yes to where it could be. That has to have been shot multiple times. Nothing could convince me otherwise.
Just the way it came out, it just didn't seem natural.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Pia, thankfully, because I was in the same boat, I was like, is that a yes? She confirms it's a yes. Austin basically is just like, oh, yeah, me too. Like, there was no buildup for his answer. It was just like, yeah. This was the least exciting yes I've ever experienced on decision day. It was so unsure and uncomfortable. And directly after, she was not happy about it. She made it very clear she wants space. She needs to refocus. And I was like, oh, I don't think you should have said yes.
Which is interesting. Saying yes, but then immediately needing space. I don't recall if that's ever worked out in Mav's history.
No, the more space tends to yet create only more space. Interesting. So a really like somber send off to this couple that just agreed to be married. Like they just walk off into the sunset. And that was basically the only wild card for decision day. Up next is Emily and Brennan. And we knew where this was going. Because if either one of them said yes, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah, you'd have to flip a table or something.
Yeah, like we're not watching this anymore. That would be in the straw that broke the camel's back.
This is something I wasn't a fan of Brennan the entire season, is that I did always feel like he was hiding something. Or he was never truthful about his emotions and people called him out. And then he's like, I am being truthful. But I also got the feeling like you're not really giving us everything. For example, when he mentions that there's certain things he just doesn't want to say. I'm sure he just didn't want to come off as an asshole on TV. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you have to be honest. And you don't even have to be an asshole. You can just say, I'm just not attracted to you. Mm-hmm. That's it. You don't have to like put someone down and be like, go after their hair or their face or like whatever they look like. You don't have to do all that. Just say, I'm just not attracted to you. That's all.
Yeah, he also is not only awful with that, but he's kind of awful with his emotions in general. He's only like fun and a party guy, or he's angry. There's like nothing in between, and there's not much difference. He can switch to the other one quite quickly.
No, I totally agree, and it was shown multiple times, especially on the honeymoon. It's probably where we got the most dramatic example of that.
Well, that's when we first saw it. It was like a great time, and they were having a great time, and poor Emily's out here with probably a broken wrist, still doing all these water sports, hanging out, playing ping pong, trying to be a great sport. And then she makes one comment and he's done. Angry, snapping at her. And then it was for sure done. And she calls it at this point. Basically, he was ready for a divorce right as she showed up to his house. We never saw them come back from that. Also, Emily's accident. If I have to hear this man say one more time that he saved Emily's life, I'm going to scream. That's when a table will be flipped. I will not stand for it. He did what any human being would have done in the presence of that accident of another human being. He did not save her life.
Something to note, you said there was a scar, but in the shot, it's either covered with makeup mm-hmm. or it's under her hair, but they did a really good job of, like, you can't even tell.
Yeah, and especially in these scenes, you can't really tell. You can tell in previous ones. Also, she came back to the retreat, which is wild. Like, just just sit this one out. It's not worth it. Especially for this guy, it's not worth it.
But I'm confused. She was wearing a helmet when this happened. So did this like pierce like through her like vision?
It was just like such a freak accident. And thank goodness it happened where it did. Because if you were just like an inch another direction, like it would have been catastrophic. So it was a branch.
I mean, either way, I mean, if that hits, you know, your eyes.
Yeah, just it was perfect. It's still so dramatic, or excuse me, traumatic. But thankfully, it did hit where it did. And kind of to speak of the accident a little bit more, like, yes, he seemed very supportive and like comforting in the hospital. And then, of course, then after. And it just seems like the bare minimum, honestly, that he did. Like, yes, you should do that. You shouldn't go back to a party when your wife is in the hospital. Like, I'm sorry. Do you want a gold star? I don't know what he wants. But kind of the reality after she was supposed to be resting, we find out that Brennan's like, oh, drive me all around the city to look for a car, even though she's on medication and was supposed to be resting. She had to take him car shopping.
Not a good look.
Not a good look. Like, what, do you really need that? You don't got any friends? One of the dudes can't take you?
The only saving grace that you will not hear about is, was this set up by production?
No, this was like revealed later.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And then also there would be times where he'd be like, did you take your medicine? Like, you're like, ew, go away. So no, I don't like give Brennan any gold stars for doing the minimum that you should be doing. Like, is that even the minimum for your spouse? You should be like waiting on them hand and foot. Oh, it was kind of sad to see the good times. Because I really did have hope for the first couple days they were together. But seeing they were like going to build their legacy and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, that would have been nice. Also, remembering Brennan being like, I will never get divorced. And seeing how fast he gave up on this relationship was wild.
I mean, it literally makes you laugh out loud when he does mention it or when it's replayed. I am bummed about that because they were talking about being a power couple.
Yeah,
you're definitely rooting. I mean, we root for everyone to be, you know, have love, get love, 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 and all that good stuff. But it is a bummer. You know, other couples, they may quit that early as well, but they legitimately like quit, like, or they end the marriage.
Yeah.
Versus you already knowing you're not down for this marriage, but you just keep it going.
Oh, you know who Brennan is? Brennan is that person that like knows this isn't going to work, but doesn't want to be the bad guy and break it off or be honest. So they're just an absolute jerk.
So they just don't communicate with you for like a month. And
they
just
make
wait for you
break
up
with them.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Oh, infuriating. And then kind of the last big issue that happened kind of after the accident, everything, they go out to dinner. And Brennan reveals how negative Emily is. And that was like her last straw. That was it. Crying, just a whole thing. She gets up, leaves. It's a whole thing. I didn't notice she was kind of negative. I did not notice this until after decision day. When I was like, oh, she does always have a comment that she likes to drop in there. I don't blame her. Trust me, I would have nothing but negative things to say if I was in a relationship with Brennan. But that's the only time I noticed it.
So for them, do you think it was more attraction or more just personality just didn't click?
Oh, I think Emily was down. She was ready to figure out where we were going with this. It was fully on Brennan is how I feel. Not being attracted to her, excuse me.
I do think Emily was definitely the more committed one in the relationship.
Which is wild as someone that has never been in a relationship before.
That is interesting to think about, yes. And I am bummed. Well, one, from the jump, I thought it was a bit weird that you're like 28, 29, this is your first relationship. I'm like, really?
And
like,
Maps was like, perfect, perfect person.
Like, there hasn't been like a short king in shining armor to be like,
oh my God.
Be mine, you know, be my girl.
Yeah. Wow, you just...
I'm just kidding. I just want to throw a little spice in there versus saying you're a knight in shining armor.
I like it.
No, but it is a bummer that this is her first longer or just relationship from her own definition. And like, this was the experience. I do hope she still believes that it's possible. Mm-hmm. And obviously marriage is possible for her. And that really doesn't impact just her, you know, her thoughts on her future in that aspect.
I really don't want this to taint her view. There are a lot of great guys out there. That Brennan is not one of them. Just move on. Cut your losses there. Get your divorce. There is still people out there that you'll have amazing relationships with. So they arrive at decision day. I enjoyed Emily's revenge dress, as I called it. But they sat a mile apart from each other on that couch. You couldn't get any further apart if you tried. You might as well put all the pillows in between them.
They were not pretending on anything.
No, and the experts knew exactly where it stood. We're not sugarcoating this. Brennan had the gall to talk about how resilient he is and how in the past he would run away at the first red flag.
A little asterisk there. You can't really run away. You're on a show. I mean, this is a little bit different than previous times.
Okay, the next sentence. He didn't give his other relationships his all, and he now sees the value in doing that. What is that implying? That he gave this his all? This is all he has? This is it. Okay. And then I know that we're all supposed to be like respectful and be the bigger person. I always try to remind myself of that, but I do appreciate that Emily went in a bit. I don't blame her. She says, "Everything you said is everything that you have done." And I said, "Yep, we're going there. Let's go. Turn up the volume. I need to be here for this." She says, "You ran as hard as you ever have." And then his only response is, "Who was there for you after your accident?" You're like, gosh, no, barely there.
Going back just a little bit, and I heard this from multiple cast members where they said, you know, "I learned a lot in this experience. Now I know what to look for in my next relationship." I would imagine this is naturally what you tell yourself after the end of a relationship. And I really do hope this experience makes it stick even more. It maybe helps with the fact they have visual evidence of what they did or didn't do, whether, you know, production renders that as like the truth or like sort of, you know, modified for television. But I do hope they learn through this process and maybe come to the conclusion that they do need to be as honest as possible for their next partner to really find out if a relationship with that individual would work or if it's something for more for the short term versus the long term.
Mm-hmm. Brennan and Dr. Pia have been going at it all season, and decision day was going to be no different.
You could tell Dr. Pia had a little like, I can't wait for it to be my turn.
Yeah, waiting for her in. She says, "Do you see that you're being defensive?" He snaps back, "Do you see I'm being attacked?" Okay. Okay.
I'm pretty sure we screamed a little bit in these moments, in these exchanges.
I know.
Probably rewind it a couple times.
Emily and Brennan kind of go back and forth for a while. And then Emily brings up that he deleted diary cams and that she faced repercussions if she said anything negative about him at all.
A few things. Mavs, this is a learning moment here. Whatever device you give them to record those diary cams, there needs to be a way that they cannot delete the footage.
It's all
now,
locked.
Obviously, they can have a word like, "Hey, this is revealing something that shouldn't be recorded. Like, you know, me in a private moment." Okay, like we can take that sidebar and like get it deleted. But if it's a factual representation of what's going on in this person's mind as it relates to the relationship, like you are not allowed to delete that because we probably missed out on some incredible, I hate saying content because it's like their relationship, but like, come on. It's
fights. You mean fights?
Like we missed out on. Okay. How about this? We missed out on more truth.
Yes.
Of the state of their relationship.
I'm really disappointed that this season we only had like two scenes of the creepy apartment cam.
Yeah. Do they just not interact there because they know there's a camera there?
That's what I'm wondering. Or did they like cover it up because we've always gotten like groundbreaking information from those, and we didn't even get anything.
I mean, we've seen nighttime outbursts. We've seen how folks communicate maybe in a heat of the moment where they kind of realize, oh, there's no cameras, but there is a camera.
Was it Jamie and Doug?
Jamie and Doug was a big one.
I'm just saying, we keep talking about conversations instead of seeing conversations. You know what I mean? Did that come out weird?
Yeah, and it kind of leads the viewer to kind of wander off into maybe how that would have played out versus us seeing the complete representation of what happened. Because, you know, two people tell a story and it's like, yeah, it's the same, but there's like these subtle differences and you're like, well, which one happened? You know, as a listener, you're just like kind of decide on which one you believe.
And who's telling the truth. And that's exactly what I'm constantly coming to with Cam and Claire. Is I'm like, they even said it, we'll get into it later, but regardless of every single argument, they have completely different stories on things that just happened. Well, why aren't any of the cameras on during these conversations to where then I can make my opinion based on what I saw versus two people talking about it?
Honestly, I'm not sure if the way they live in the apartment, because there is an extra room, maybe somebody makes that like an office area. So really they kind of, if the relationship's not working, maybe they spend a lot of their time kind of like, you know, hey, I'm working, air fingers again, like, don't bother me. I don't want to be next to you. I'm working. Maybe they just spend less and less time in that space.
As things are getting heated with Emily and Brennan and they're going back and forth, Emily explains, if I knew the severity of my negative vibes, I would have fixed that. Like, man, just end it. It is not worth this amount of frustration.
I think they're kind of going around and around because Brennan had checked out so early. It really didn't matter what Emily did.
Oh, yeah, no.
In this journey, like, sad to say, but it was already set in stone.
He would find fault in anything. It doesn't matter. Pastor Cal brings up accountability and straight up tells Cal that he sees BS. Brennan is taken aback by this a little bit, and he asks him to use less sharp words. At this point in my notes, I just wrote, why is Brennan breathing so hard? And it's probably because he's pissed, and he is trying to hold it together.
I mean, I can see it. Whether he's in the right or wrong, we kind of lean towards the wrong. I mean, it is a lot of people, everyone's staring at you, they're questioning you. And like Dr. Pia said, I mean, he's defending himself, right? He has to respond. And I could see how that could take a lot of energy and really kind of make you start to warm up, right? Which is leading to him like breathing louder. He's probably being really tense. His blood pressure is probably up.
More back and forth happens with some input from the experts and sort of ends with Brennan saying, the things that I would have said would have been devastating to her. I'm like, wow, that's comforting. Oh,
something about Brennan's character is even the way he words that, like the things I could say about you would be devastating. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you think that way?
Yeah.
Like, why do you go to that extreme? Going back to, you know, calling someone out about their looks or whatever, you could just say you're not attracted to them.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into like crazy detail and break them down as a human. Like, you don't have to do all that.
Yeah. And Dr. Pepper chimes in and says, now is the time to make your decision.
Again, okay. This is probably the one where I lost my shit. Dr. Pia.
Dr. Pepper.
Excuse me. Dr. Pepper. What are we doing? Were you not just a part of this conversation? Why are we doing the dramatic effect of asking them what their decision is? I know we're trying to record a clip for the show and some trailers. This is an immediate no.
Dr. Pepper said, I am paid to say this line, and I'm only saying this line.
He's like, I got a contract. I got to check this thing off, and I said it.
Emily says, I deserve better than you and better than this. I deserve respect, which I don't think I received. I would like a divorce. Brennan says, I've done my best this entire relationship, and I'm sorry if you feel like I've silenced you. Ding, ding, ding. Silenced. The reality is we don't click. It's not a blame thing. We tried and it didn't work. Then everyone is consoling Emily, telling her she's going to do great. Don't worry. As Brennan just walks out.
He said, I don't need any of this shit. I'm good. I don't need no healing. I'm ready to go.
I got a double date with Cam. I don't need any of this. Speaking of Cam, on to Cam and Claire. These two have been broken up for half of the entire show. What are we doing here? You might as well get Lauren and Orion here. If we're going this far back. I was so annoyed to see them. As annoyed as I kept seeing Claire on my TV for the whole season. A single woman Married at First Sight.
Now I know TV show, content, viewership, ratings, all this crap. I get that. But as a fan, especially the hardcore fans, right? Not missing any episodes, always on point with everything going on. But what is the objective of bringing people on that have already ended the marriage a month ago?
I assume it was because the number of them that had already quit and the fact that Michael was probably just got married at this point and they had no one to follow.
You know, if all of the couples are still going, this would be a two-parter.
Oh, yeah.
For a fact.
Oh, yeah. The way this show goes, the way it's stretched out.
The fact that we got a little bit over a half-ish number of people and it's still hour and a half, 2 hours is amazing that they can pull that off. Now, I didn't mind the sit-down because, yes, this could maybe help in some type of healing or closure process. But just as a viewer myself, like that's also, we saw with Alyssa, they kind of had the divorce like 2 weeks in, but they got to say like some things and they just kind of parted ways. But I would have been okay with them just peacefully parting ways a month ago.
Just to bring up Alyssa, you know, she is pissed that Claire got to stay in that apartment and hang out with the girls.
Super pissed. Alyssa just wanted to be there for her girls and they said, get the fuck out.
I know. And she's pissed. So we have Claire's flashback first. She talks about Cam's amazing qualities, how smart and hardworking he is, how easy it is to be with him and laugh and be herself. She does say that Cameron lacks some of the things that she wants as a husband and there is zero romance. She says Cam struggles opening up and that she can feel him pushing her away, but says that she couldn't have done this with anyone else.
She can feel him pushing her away, where there have been moments captured on screen where he's trying to pull her in.
And she said, you can have my cat paw.
Something that was always a bit off for me, when you're uniting two people for good, bad, and different, like naturally you are uniting two families. And I know Cameron's family is really far away, but you never really got the feeling that they were sort of like coming together. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we really didn't feel that with most all of these couples.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you'd see couples that are like super committed, like you're kind of feeling like they're going to work out. Mm-hmm. You start seeing sort of like these either sit downs or like dates with family members or conversations like, how's it going?
Or the active avoidance of family moments or introductions.
Correct. Correct. But I feel like we didn't get really, I mean, unless I missed some things, I didn't feel that we got any of that from anyone. And maybe it's the point of like, hey, I don't really feel this working out. Maybe you shouldn't get too close to this person.
Yeah, good point. But with
Cameron, I know his father was sick and he didn't let them know that he was married. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you know, on his deathbed, which really want them to know. And I'm like, well, wouldn't your father want to know something like this? Like, wow, my son got married. Mm-hmm. Like he's happy. He's having a good life in America. Like he's so far away. Like I would imagine that being a positive thing, mm-hmm. not a negative thing. I mean, maybe they'd be bummed that they couldn't be there, but they'd still be happy for you. So I always felt like they're missing this connection to really be together.
I guess in the same vein, the question is it a red flag or a problem or an area of concern maybe that Cam essentially doesn't have much of a relationship with his family and had no friends present.
I could see that. The other thing that really stuck with me was in the beginning, especially during the marriage episodes, how open Claire was about her family and her brother and what they went through, and even just including him in the marriage. That seemed like a special thing of like, I'm getting the reading that she's taking this process incredibly seriously and is giving me hope for this couple. It's like, wow, like the amount that I'm reading that she's putting into this, I think this could work. And it's almost like that ended really, really fast.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was like, where are we going? That's what I mean.
It ended so fast. And I'm like, it just stopped. Like, we got this buildup and I was really happy for you guys. And then nothing happened.
That's exactly how I feel. And I didn't know how to explain how I felt like I didn't know them as a couple or even what their problems were or anything.
Whereas with Becca and Austin, they were going slow, but they had moments and they're being cute and, you know, they're kind of keeping the hope alive. But with them, there was just nothing.
That's exactly how I feel. We then move on to Cam's flashback. And he talks about how when the first time he saw Claire, he said, wow. The tone quickly changes of his flashback. And he talks about the big things that they don't align on, but doesn't specifically say what they are. And I don't feel like we got that in the episode either, going back to what you were saying. He says Claire could have done a better job of focusing on building a connection. He says, if she says yes, I'm saying yes. Cam had quite the illness after him and Claire split up. And I know in earlier episodes, he talks about how like, well, my dad had his heart issue after, you know, him and my mom got divorced. And now, you know, there's a lot of insinuating borderline blaming what has gone on at Married at First Sight. But here he clarifies, has nothing to do with Claire. And I'm glad to hear it. Now, he hasn't been super, I feel like, detailed in his heart procedures or anything like that, but I think it's something that I had as a kid, and it's not like open heart surgery, so the recovery isn't intense like that. I mean, it's still a lot. It's a heart surgery, but it's kind of a catheter goes up through your thigh and then down your artery in your neck, and they can kind of do a burning procedure that way. And I'm wondering if he had to get this done a couple times because that was one of the warnings that they gave, that it can have to be redone.
Is that more like it failed kind of thing?
That, or they just didn't burn as much as they needed to. So my procedure was done in one time. I've never had an issue again, but I'm wondering if that's why he had to have a couple procedures.
Did he mention like symptoms wise? Is it just like loss of energy or?
He didn't mention initial symptoms, but symptoms now that he's going through this, like tired out very easily. You cannot like talk a lot. Anything that raises your blood pressure is dangerous. Kind of just like everything that has to do with blood pumping through your body, basically. The conversation starts out with the experts. And they say, we know you guys have been separated for a while. So like, why are we here? Not to beat that, but I just can't get over why we're here. Cam talks about his condition and the fact that she had no commitment to take care of him. He said it would actually be easier for him to face this on his own and selfishly. The more people that get involved, the harder it is for him to focus on his health. Claire talks about how if she were ill, she would want people around her and that she did want to be there for him, but that he did not want her there. And I'm like, well, I can't really blame him. Like, I really want my ex hanging out with me either. Cam says, you're such an empathetic person and I felt your emotion and I was too weak to accept it, but I'm extremely appreciative. Claire talks about how there are many misunderstandings in the marriage and they just couldn't get on the same page. Dr. Pia asks like why they never talked about it, why there was no like bringing up issues. It was just always like a really general problem. Like, oh, intimacy. Oh, like I can't imagine you putting your arm around me or something like that, or like, oh, you don't want to kiss me. It was always something super generic like that instead of this. And now that it's decision day, that is brought up.
I think I mentioned it in one of our earliest episodes where if you try to engage someone, romantically, like, you know, you're developing feelings and stuff, but if you don't feel that energy back, or if it's maybe denied, it kind of leads you to, like, you don't really want to re-engage. It's almost like...
You don't want to be turned down multiple times.
Right. And at that point, you're almost... You have to be respectful of that person. Yeah. Like, if they told you no, it's like, well, now I don't really know what's okay and not okay. Mm-hmm. So I need to be extra careful.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if that's why there was moments where Cameron just doesn't engage, and then which leads Claire to thinking, like, you don't do anything, you know, mm-hmm. you don't feel comfortable approaching me. And honestly, because she's probably not reading her own actions and we saw a video where he does compliment and she's like, oh, you complimented me? And he's like, yes.
Well, I mean, even on the honeymoon, there's lots of, like, him putting his arm around her, him bringing her roses, him doing things, but just cat paw. Always just, at most, cat paw.
So from Cameron's perspective, how are you supposed to read that? Like, I just gave this woman a giant bouquet of flowers, and not that they owe you a reaction, but it's almost like you're getting cues off of their responses, which kind of, you know, tells you, like, maybe what's okay or not okay or what's acceptable.
Fully agree. Claire does say that some of her guards were coming down, but Cam says it was becoming too late for me. There was a sweet moment in the end where Cam does say, like, I take my share of the blame. He goes over their breakdown in communication. It was just a nice moment of accountability. And Claire as well. She said the same thing. It takes two. And I was very unaware as well. Like, it was a nice kind of ending to that conversation. She also begins to cry and apologizes for being all over the place and hurting him. And he accepts her apology. So it was like a nice moment.
I'm cheating a little bit from information I have towards the end of the episode. But I could see how they can be cordial after this. But it's interesting that we know that they still have this animosity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still there, even though they can get past them, like, hey, this didn't work. Mm-hmm. We can be cool, but doesn't mean I don't have opinions like you didn't do enough, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they still have those feelings, even though they can be okay.
Well, I think the feelings rapidly change because the blame was starting to be thrown out, and Claire took it a step too far, and then all hell broke loose, which I can't wait to talk about. We got to get through this. Pastor Cal took the lead on this one now. He says, the time has come for you to decide.
Once again, Pastor Cal, what are we doing? You know, it's so funny. I don't even like to think about our, you know, like, preseason picks, because they must be,
oh my
shit.
Gosh.
Absolute dog water.
Yeah. I don't even want to know.
I don't want to know either. Listeners, please don't tell us.
Cam says that his attraction to Claire is gone, but he sees a family member now when he looks at her. So she has been sister zoned, cousin zoned. I don't know, but just not a partner.
Which is funny, because the way they're going to engage later in this episode kind of skews more towards brother-sister fighting.
It does, like hardcore fighting. Claire says, you've been amazing in this process, and I'm thankful for what you've given me. However, I want love where I can express my feelings. I was like, "That? What does that even... You're just saying generic things now to say things. Okay, now the best part of the episode. Everyone buckle up, pay attention, put your phones away. We get a diary cam of Emily in her apartment. She is at home and the girls are out. The girls meaning Lauren and Emily. Or was it Claire and Emily? She is at home in her apartment. She said the girls are out and she just got a text from Claire. She saw Austin and Brennan out with a producer. And I'm always torn on this, because I was like, well, why are you home? Did you say you didn't want to go? And then they're out and you're annoyed they're out, but you didn't want to go anyway.
Well, there's a few ways to look at it. And I'm sad I feel like we didn't get that detail of it, because after decision day, she mentioned she needs space. So is this a point where they were having space and he didn't bother to ask her? if she wanted to come along.
That's what my interpretation of is what we found out in a later after party is he talks about how, which do you want me to do the breakdown now? I might as well just do like the truth breakdown now.
We might as well.
So Austin's story is she was at the apartment. He gets a text or a call from his friend who wants to go get together with that producer. I'm assuming he's trying to wiggle his way in with this producer. I'm assuming this is a friend that they filmed with. Maybe they spent multiple days together with this producer. He has a crush or something. I don't know. So he wants Austin to basically be his wingman is what I'm guessing. Sure, the middle guy. You know this producer better than me, but I'm trying to hang out with her. Let's all go get a drink.
Make the introduction.
Yes, make the introduction. Okay, Brennan, you're single. Come along. I don't know. I don't know how Brennan got into this, but it ends up being like a group and the producer. And then that is what Claire and the girls bumped into. But I think there is still a missing piece of he didn't say that he was going out.
Now, the way you just described it, there's like four people there.
Yes.
Four people.
Yeah.
But the way the text came through.
Thank you.
Is, oh, I saw Brennan and Austin.
Alone with a producer.
Really, I'm insinuating I saw Brennan with a, I saw Austin with a producer.
Yeah. This is where I start picking up my Claire puzzle, putting the pieces together. You know, every time there's drama between a couple, where's that information coming from? Someone's name is always coming out of someone's mouth, and it's always the same name.
I never saw this coming from Claire.
Me neither. But it all makes sense now, doesn't it? Remember back in the day when no one lived near each other and everyone had to focus on their relationship and like make budgets? The good old days. I have notoriously hated for seasons that we had to be like best friends at first sight. And look, now we get like the worst example of it is like people's relationships were affected by other people's relationships in the worst way, not like an uplifting way. Now the infamous pizza party the next day. You pointed out two things immediately that cracked me up. One, Austin walking in, you said, that is a man that's hungover.
100%. If anyone thinks he wasn't hungover, feel free to DM us because that man is recovering.
And two, you said, why do all the women have body glitter on their face? And I was like, there must have been a get together, pre-mimosa, having to see the guys moment.
Or you could view it as they're putting on the war paint.
It's just glitter.
This is war paint because they knew they were coming united.
Yeah.
And the boys were like, what? What's going on?
There was definitely a plan that happened. And for some reason, body glitter was involved in that plan.
Okay. Shout out to Lauren real quick. During this whole interaction, for the most part, she was pretty chill, but she was like speaking with the strength of her posture. Like she was speaking to me, even though she wasn't saying anything. I could feel the energy of like, I'm ride or die for her. You better be careful what you say.
That's exactly what it was. And then I don't know if you remember what I was screaming at the TV when Lauren came on. It was, you're too good for this. Do not get involved in this. Lauren's my girl. No. Okay. Austin gets there recovering. Becca enters the chat. Michael and Chloe show up. They shouldn't have even came. This doesn't involve them. We don't know. Just those poor people just had to watch this go down.
This is not giving them good energy for their future.
Not at all. Not good vibes.
Not good vibes.
Okay, unrelated, which I was going to say, but I don't know where to put it in. All of the girls except Chloe on After Party wear pink. They all match together. And Chloe's never involved. And I'm like, ooh, is that like a mean girl situation? Like, are you guys a club and you're like excluding Chloe? Because that's not nice. But I'm kind of like, ooh, I kind of like it now. Don't be a mean girl, Chloe. Just stay out of it. It's probably something as simple as she just wasn't there from the beginning and doesn't have those relationships. But I like to think that Chloe's like, nah, I'm good. Oh, this was in my notes because we paused to ask this question. You asked, is Michael too old for a drop earring?
I didn't even try it on. So Ellie, so I lost one of my, I used to wear like little mini hoops. What would you call them?
Small hoops.
Small hoops. I mean, they're tiny. But I lost one, and then I had to switch out the color, and I was probably bumming about it. And Ellie was like, she's bumming so much. I'll just buy him a pack. But she bought me like two packs of like 15 or two packs of 30. I don't even know. It's like a ridiculous amount of earrings of like all styles, like hoops, studs, drop earrings, like all kinds of things. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be one of the cool kids. I'm going to wear one of those drop earrings.
With the beautiful hair. Like, it, yeah, I saw what you were going for.
So I grab one of them just to just try it out. And I go to the bathroom, and I didn't even put it on. I just placed it by my ear. And I was like, nope. I'm too old. I can't do this.
You can't do the F-boy drop earring.
Now, Michael's
older
than me. And I'm just like, Michael, I don't know. I don't know if we can do it, man.
Now, Michael.
I wasn't feeling it for myself. Looks a lot better on you, but I'm still not into it.
He should probably just go to like hoops, you know, the more simple ones. But he's like eclectic, so it kind of works for him.
It does work for him. It really doesn't work for me or my style.
Your sporty style.
It's not even sporty. Sometimes it's like lazy.
Lazy streetwear or sporty, it's like, is kind of where we it's fall like into.
Lazy athlete, but I'm not showing off my muscle.
No.
Yeah, that's my style.
So if you want an immediate argument with Leon, you come at him like Becca came at him.
Oh, pause. I should say, I don't show off my muscle or lack thereof.
Correction.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I said if anyone wants to get into an argument with you, just come at you the way Becca came at Austin. Because that is like the number one. Like, you are on the defense hard. If someone likes to like ask questions and play dumb, like, you hate that.
Can you give the reader, or excuse me, readers? Sorry, I've been reading a lot of books. Can you give the listeners an example?
Like, if you feel like you're being tested, nothing pisses you off faster.
This is what gets me. This is what it is. If I've put in the time to do the research, like legitimate fucking research here, okay? I'm not just dinking around. Like, I'm doing fucking research, and we're in a topic, and I'm just trying to spit knowledge to people around me. I'm saying around me like it's a group conversation. It could be just like a one-on-one. If I'm trying to give you knowledge of like help you, and then the person starts to like question me, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I've done all the work already for us. That's I think what bugs me. Mind you, I'm not saying like what I'm doing is right. That's just like the thing that grinds my gears, is that like I've gone out of my way to research this, and you're kind of, and you know, not you, but like someone's just speaking out of their behind, and like I'm like, I don't know. It's like a mental thing. It like irritates me. It's like, what? What was that response?
Not even only that, but I just mean it in a challenging way of Becca being like, oh, did you go out? Like, when someone obviously knows what's going on and they're questioning you, you're always like, just get to the point.
I mean, that could be like that's almost like the complete opposite of like what I'm saying. But you're right. It's almost like, I know they know what's going on. So like, why are we
beating around the bush?
Why are we beating around the bush?
That's kind of what I'm getting at here.
It's more of like, I think it's because I think for the most part, I try to be direct. Mm-hmm. And you're basically, the whole point of this scenario, you're already walking him into a trap.
Yes.
You're walking him into a lose-lose. When you could just straight up say like, why did you go out with the producer last night? You could have literally just started with that question right there. Yep. Versus like, did you go out? Oh, who did you go out? You're like, you're setting up the trap.
I hated watching this. It made me so anxious.
it's like, wait,
no good.
You're setting up the trap. And if he says, yes, I went out with the producer, you're in attack mode. If he doesn't mention the producer, you're extra in attack mode. So I'm like, well, what's the point of doing that? Just ask him the question you want to ask him.
And better yet, ask him directly when it's just you two. This whole setup, I need backup thing is weird.
Now, please understand, I know this conversation really does turn into and feels like man versus woman.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm saying this statement, the one I just said, I don't mean like a woman asking a man.
No,
I mean
no.
Anybody just ask the question. Don't
say the statement.
Don't beat around the bush. Just ask.
Yeah, that's what I mean too. So that's a good clarification. Okay, back to Becca. You know, starting real light, can't go in for the attack right off the bat. We have to be strategic here, ladies.
You worded that wrong. You can't go in for the kill.
No, we got to warm up. We got to warm them up for the kill. Ladies, we practiced. You glitter ready? Okay.
There was a game plan to this.
Oh, yes. So what did everyone do last night? Even the tone, I'm like, that's so fake. Stop. She turns to Austin and says, asks, did you go out last night? Did you go out with anyone else? He goes, yeah, with a group. And then she says, any producers? Which is too oddly specific. Abort. Like, if you're a dude or getting confronted like this, anyone, regardless of gender, just don't even lie. Just abort. Like, you're done. You're toast. They already know.
You know, it would be even funnier if they had texted that he did go out and be like, you know I went out. Like, why are you asking me?
And Austin, like, is caught. Like, we all know he's caught.
And it was bad. No. It was bad. It wasn't a good look.
He goes, I don't know. You don't know. You don't know who you were hanging out with.
You know, the bummer of the statement I made also was a bad look because he also wasn't immediately honest.
That you have to be immediately honest.
You have to be.
Because it makes it so much worse. And then you get a situation like this and so much more happens. She says, do you remember? And then he's trying to turn it around and says, are you mad at me? You're already in, sir. Don't even question it.
If you're asking the question, it's already too late.
That's right. Becca asks, did you come into this experience for a producer or a marriage with me? I was like, whoa, okay, you went 0 to 100. Even that was a lot.
We need to call this something, like when Ellie and I in sync yell, then pause, rewind, play again, because just the effect was, it was too strong.
We watched just this opening part, not even the whole thing, so many times. Broke down his reactions, broke down the way Emily just looked at him, like she hated this man. He says, definitely a marriage with you. Going back to the producer, he doubles down. Wrong move. Austin says, no, I did not go out with a producer. Don't lie with your full chest. Don't.
He should have. I'm really not trying to defend any side. And I wonder if his thought process there was almost like, I didn't go out with a producer like one-on-one. Yeah. Like, I didn't go out with them. I went out as a group.
Yeah, that's actually a way better answer.
Like, we were all there.
Yeah.
Because the way she's envisioning it is like, you went out for the producer.
You took her out and bought her food and drink.
Correct. It was like, no, it was like a bunch of us.
Mm-hmm. And you could have just said the whole buddy thing. Like, I was just wingmanning, you know? Like, the truth was literally fine.
But honestly, we don't know if that was the truth.
That's actually accurate.
And honestly,
you're on the girl's side. I see.
No, this is to show the listeners at home, like, I really try, and we really try not to play anyone's, mm-hmm. like, I try to view things with an open mind, and obviously we all come to conclusions, but like, if that was the truth with, my buddy, and he wanted an introduction, like, I feel like that would have been really easy to like, oh, that's the truth, like, I'm just going to say it, and I'm good, but it never came out.
Well, Brennan did say that's what it was a group, so I'm like, but Brennan would lie, so I don't know.
I mean, I could understand the group setting, but mm-hmm. the whole buddy, producer, I don't...
Oh, yeah, those are details that
I don't know about all that.
See, and this is where Claire's out of pocket for me. Like, you didn't need to say anything. Everything's already out there. Emotions are high. Tensions are high. You didn't need to say anything. As soon as she added her 2 cents, everything was kicked up a notch.
The moment she interjected, it gave everyone else the opportunity to interject.
The girl said, that's the signal, let's go. Claire Bear piped in and said, no, that's just not factual at all. Don't get into other people's arguments.
You know, I think this is a rare time in maths where I get a little heated, because one, Claire was the cause of this by sending that text message. But at this moment in time, I'm okay being wrong if people don't agree with me. But I thought in that moment in time, and it feels weird saying it because this is a group setting and it's a like a party, but it felt like Becca and Austin were having a very serious conversation between them. And I'm just putting myself in their space, unless someone's being like hurt, like I feel like they need to weigh, like they need to be talking through that. Like if I feel like someone's being hurt, obviously you'd be like, hey, like we need to calm down or whatever. Like,
yeah, but you're not saying like, oh, that's a lie. Like you're just like, hey, let's calm down.
I'm not, upping the temperature of the conversation. I'm not going to say egging it on, but like you're adding to it. You're adding to the tension.
Yeah. And this is probably not right to say, but I'm going to say it. Is this a good reflection on her profession and what she is about to graduate from? I'm like, ma'am, you have to know de-escalation techniques here. That was not one of them. Becca says, yesterday I said a large reason I almost said no is because I think you're being fake with me. What about the dignity of our marriage? I was like, oh God, we're going to see, this is a real private argument that greatly affects both your lives. We did not need the whole group there.
I mean, I think at one point, and you might bring it up here in a moment, she's talking about like the sanctity of our marriage.
Yes.
I mean, it's getting very serious and yeah, like you said, very intimate.
Mm-hmm. She says that has been the rift of our entire relationship on top of everything else. And you decided the way to move forward and the way to heal was to hang out with her. Is there known weird blood here? Was there like flirting and she didn't like it? Like what is going on?
You do kind of get like there's sort of like this strong energy against the producer.
Yes, not just someone he went out with. It was this specific person.
Which this also does bug me when folks are so attached to a subject in a conversation when, again, this was a group setting, but you're making yourself more mad by in your mind, you keep focusing on you and I with the producer, you and I with the producer. It's like, I went out with a group. Mm-hmm. The producer was there, but like, they're not the reason I was there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like, Brennan at this point was already screwed, I think, because Emily had made up her mind.
Yeah.
Like, which, again, emotions are high. Like, you just said yes on decision day. Why are you just going out drinking with buddies? I get it. Like, should you be communicating? Should you be focusing on other things that are, more important? Like, mm-hmm. Your relationship with your wife.
And also, he did lie. So, like,
He did.
No grace there. Becca continues and says, I'm not some dumb bitch. Did you think that when you were out that it would impact me? He says, I didn't think it would be a problem. And good old Claire decides to say, see, that's the problem. Ma'am, stop.
I do wonder, as this is going down, and they do a decent job of, like, if I recall, like, panning through the group. And I just wonder if Cameron is, like his leg is, he's like, bumping his leg up and down. Yeah. And if he's like, I need to take my meds because I'm starting to get like heated. I cannot take this anymore.
She took it too far. Then there's this whole conversation about is Becca sensitive or not? He said, like, you have brought up, and she said, no, I'm not. Like, you need someone more independent and less sensitive than me and all this stuff. But I remember like all of the intros, she was just like, I wear my heart on my sleeve, like I'm really sensitive and all this stuff. So I think she's sensitive, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't even know why that's being brought up now.
Does that seem counter to those two definitions of someone, like extremely independent, but then very sensitive? Does that seem like they wouldn't really gel like that?
Kind of, because she was like wanting so much from Austin. Like, she wanted more. Maybe I shouldn't say so much because it wasn't something that she shouldn't expect. I don't mean it in that way. I just mean she wanted so much more. She wanted to feel more love. She wanted it verbally. She wanted it physically. She wanted, all these different ways. So maybe? Is that a non-answer? Kind of.
I just meant more of, in my mind, when I think of someone that's like super independent, I kind of see them as more like they can take more.
Maybe.
They're not as sensitive, basically.
Yeah.
I just kind of, in my mind, those are kind of not like completely related. Like I would never think of someone that's like hyper independent as also being like highly sensitive.
Yeah, probably. And then this is where like, yeah, Claire shouldn't have interrupted anything, but then we should never be like generalizing a whole group of people at all. And they said, that's exactly what we're going to do. Becca said, all the men, all of them, have been more concerned about optics.
Now, the fact that she mentioned this. Now, I didn't get to watch every group setting, but I'm imagining the ladies group chat is popping.
I cannot imagine.
This is the point where, quite obviously, it does really look like a men versus women kind of moment. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we just generalized all of the men here, except for Michael, as
caring more about the optics.
Now, as we're replaying this here, kind of in this conversation, I mean, Cameron must have been taking offense to all of this.
Oh, yes. Becca says, so you no longer think we should try working on this? Emily jumps in and says, Becca, it's an important time for you. Does it feel like it's time to change your decision? Not appropriate.
Why are we getting there?
No, get out. No.
Mind you, they probably already talked about prior.
The sign was given.
She's probably like, F him, F that producer. I'm ending this marriage. So they're kind of like, okay, we got the details. So then Emily speaks up like, do you need to reconsider?
Yeah. And instead of any de-escalation or maybe like, hey, do you guys want us to leave and give you some privacy or, you know, like anything that seems like what you should do for a friend that you want to support? Claire says, I don't want to interfere with what's going on here, but I do think there is a theme of being silenced. There are many moments that we were all silenced. Why? Like a couple is having a fight and then you said, I'm going to make sure we all fight with our husbands. Like, why? We're too old. Like, we are way too old.
Like, we have heart issues. Like, we're getting too old for all this. Yes,
can we? This man has an active heart condition. Can we not? She then turns to Cam because, you know, the sign was given. The signal is given. It's Claire's turn to pop off. She says, like with Brennan and Emily, I felt you were mad that I brought it up. I'm not going to stay silent about things that are hurting other people. I'm like, yes, of course, but like there's ways to do that. Cam's done. Cam's here. And I've never cheered on someone so much in Married at First Sight, I don't think. He doing the leg thing. He says, I'd like to bring up a topic of you being silenced, Claire. And I was like, let the man talk. Everyone shut up. In our marriage, who was the one being silenced? She is pulling an Austin here and got to play that dumb card. What do you mean?
But it's the way I felt from her responses. It was almost like, oh, that's different.
Yes. And like scrambling. There were times she was tripping over those words.
Yeah. At this moment, it was like, let Cameron cook and just get ready for the show. Because, okay, the thing that made this interaction so incredible was because the women had a game plan. They were strong. They were fierce. They were together.
United.
Now, the men, all over the place, confused, no game plan, individuals. But they had the star of all stars, and he would not back down.
That's right. And I fully support it.
It was worse for Claire because Cameron had a shit ton of evidence.
Why would you put yourself in this situation? Like, you have the ideal situation. Decision day is done.
Now, this is interesting for Claire because you introduced this conversation. And by introducing this, you've now opened yourself up to be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Cameron saw his moment.
And we're here. Claire says the decisions we made in secrecy that are not important for everyone to hear.
Who decides if they're important?
Thank you. Because I think it's very relevant here. She says, that's different. No, it's not. Oh, that's what Cam says. That was what I was also saying. He says, I'm not going to stand for you saying I silenced you in any way. I have supported everything you have ever said. And that's where she starts fumbling a bit. not real.
As I'm snapping my fingers. I'm snapping. I'm here for it.
She says, and I agree, up until a point I felt silenced. And then turns to Emily and says, is there something you would like to say, Emily? And I'm like, stop dragging everyone into this. Okay.
It has gone now from Becca to Austin. Then Claire interjects. Then Cameron's like, hold the fuck on. I got something to say, Claire. And then Claire is introducing Emily.
I cannot imagine the rehearsals for this scene.
Honestly, no. Honestly, I think this was a rare moment, and I really hope I'm right on this. I think this is a rare moment where it is so raw. You're not making these people repeat this. This is like legitimately a group fight.
Oh, yeah. No, like, it's a group fight.
This is...
I mean them in the apartment before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, it's like cut to make sense of like who's talking.
Yeah.
But I would like to think like this is legit, straight up, no edits. Like, this is what happened in this moment.
Mostly because then like jackets were on and off. Yeah, and it was weird. Right. But
then I think...
I still think the information's correct.
No, I think the information's correct. But when they do that, they are... Because someone's talking. I mean, that gives someone a chance to like put on a jacket. Like, yeah. That didn't bug me as much. I'm like, okay. Yeah, Cameron's on his 5-minute spiel. Like, I'll put on a jacket. Like, okay. But yeah, now we introduce Emily. And you know, Brennan's been quiet this whole fucking time because he's like, don't get me involved in this. I'm here for the pizza. I'm here to get paid for the scene. Like, I'm just trying to chill. And man, it just keeps going.
Cam says, I said it was not appropriate to get involved in Emily and Brennan's relationship. To clear the air, I was the one who said, after all this, let's go on a double date, meaning him and Austin. He said, let's enjoy the moment. Claire says, but it wasn't after. It was in the moment. Cam says, that was a misunderstanding. And Claire says, it's always a misunderstanding. Cam talks about how there are over 20 times when we talk and have completely different accounts of what just happened. Claire says, that's true, but you're lying. Like... Okay.
Do they mean accounts in their relationship?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
In, okay.
Just because, you know, they even said it on decision day. Like, we are just never on the same page. You know what really de-escalates a fight? Pointing at people. Emily jumps in, points at Brennan, and says, that's the same response from him. Cam ignores Emily. We're just going to keep going. He says, I've literally lied every fucking day of this marriage to protect her. Do not get on a fucking high horse with me.
My face. I have...
Screaming.
Not that... I'm not proud of the argument. Like, I honestly wish they weren't, like, going back and forth.
Yeah.
But I have never been more proud of Cameron.
So proud.
I shit you not. I must have watched this like 10 times. No joke.
I wish after the first we stopped and I was like, okay, we're going to watch it again. It's on like, recorded.
It's like the emotion, the realness of it, the rawness of it. It like, was like, forget all the BS and all this. Oh, we got to do all these activities and all this stuff. And we don't even want to. Like, the experts told us to do it. This is just real. This is probably why people watch like other reality TV,
because
maybe they get a lot more of this and like we're getting this little morsel, right?
And it was glorious.
And it was glorious. And I appreciated that Cameron, even though they are having a back and forth, and for the most part, everyone keeps their cool. But just it's almost because I don't expect this of Cameron.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's going this hard is like, okay, he's making me a believer.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't expect someone like Cameron to be doing this right now.
No, there's too much conviction in it. Emily says, every male has felt the need to protect us, but you've hurt us around and around. We don't need fucking protecting. Cam says, I was asked for protection. After some stumbling and she didn't know how to respond, she says, she being Claire, says, you were asked to protect a marriage. He says, to protect you. I think this is where Emily pipes up again and says, were you protecting her by lying? Brennan, we haven't heard from this man this entire time. Like, I forgot he was there. He says he's not lying. And also, the only voice of reason, which is wild here, to be coming from Brennan, of all people.
Yeah,
for says, sure. Why can't we just agree to disagree and not place blame on each other? Well, like, I more agree with what he's, like, trying to say than that. I'm, like, just, like, we're doing nothing here. This means nothing. It's just getting worse.
The message behind it is okay, but I can see where folks should think, I'm like, that's great and all, but we're not making progress.
Yeah.
By doing that.
But this also isn't progress. So it's like, I get what he's saying. We cut to Emily's reaction, but that's not what I was looking at. Claire was sitting next to her. That spoke all the truth I needed. Because while we, as the audience, are supposed to be looking at Emily for her reaction, Claire is in the background going, Cam, and mouths no. Basically saying, like, shut the fuck up.
You know what this means, right?
That it's all true?
No. Well, she was so comfortable doing that action. How many times has she done that to Cameron?
Oh, the whole time. I fully believe him when he says every single day. Yeah, she knew she had the power to turn to him and go, Cam, no. No, he will not be silenced. Emily is shook and she says, you don't think we've gotten anywhere by being heard? And I was like, we're going too hard. You need to abort. Get out of this argument because it's snowballing way too fast. Emily and Claire now gang up and just say, yeah, they're all going to lie. Just meaning like all the men. Becca then turns to the men and says, yeah, lying is a common thread between you. So gross. Like, again, we're too old.
We're just getting beyond what this conversation is.
Yeah. And all of you are divorced. So why do you care?
And so that's when we're really, I guess, where Brennan kind of makes sense, like the agree to disagree, because we're starting to get into the realm of things that have like, it's just too much for what this conversation started as. When we're trying to help a friend resolve that, mm-hmm. we're getting way beyond that.
Yeah. Cam then gets up and leaves and a cameraman catches up to him and they have a little impromptu interview. Cam says, to be accused of silencing Claire when all of our private conversations of her telling me what I can and cannot say per these secrets she has revealed is so hypocritical. And by the way, the fact that she's not attracted to me, that's one of those things she told me I couldn't say out loud. And no, and oh no, I just broke a promise. I just left the group and I'm already getting texts about not letting her secrets out. Cut to Claire texting frantically on her phone and someone asking, did he text you back yet? And she says, no.
So Claire clearly didn't want to reveal that she told Cameron very early on that she wasn't attracted to him, which I wonder how early on that was. Is it after the honeymoon? Because he was giving her compliments during the honeymoon.
Yeah.
But I don't recall any after. So I do wonder
the conversation probably already happened.
So, I just wonder if it happened right after the honeymoon.
Yeah, probably. Emily and Brennan like kind of have a heart to heart where she kind of apologized. And I was like, no, don't do it. They had an awkward side hug and they just kind of have a nice ending to what the messiest argument was. Lauren talks about how she looks forward to growth and says the door is open for a friendship with Orion. And I was all, you know, screaming at my TV like, why? Stop it. She put the ball in his court. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully nothing. And they move on and be happily ever after by themselves.
I just hope it's more of just a friendship versus anything beyond that.
Yeah. Chloe and Michael talk about their relationship. Chloe says, we're in a positive place and accepting each other for exactly who we are. Michael did an interesting analogy, which I did not write well, so I'm not going to repeat it word for word, but he talks about being a candle, but then Chloe's a sun, and he says basically that she is a much better human than him, and that's what he wants to celebrate. Which then you're like, that's kind of weird. Like, maybe we should read into that. Maybe not.
Nothing from either side was selling me on the relationship.
No, and then we just had decision day, so that's a crummy.
Like, even Michael was saying, like, you're a great person. You're gonna leave a bigger mark than I am on this planet. Like, all these things sound nice, but I'm like, but you're not really telling me how, like, into them you are.
Also, everything you say is really nice, but doesn't include you in any way. Not a good sign. Not about how, like, this person makes you feel or how you see them in their life. Like, it's just not, like, yeah, you're saying nice things, but are they that nice? I mean, we might as well touch on it since we're talking about them. Decision day happened and he said no. Which I didn't see. I thought he was going to say yes to more time, but when, you know, the classic. But sure. When he started panicking after the farm animals and the adopting five kids at a time, has to be five, who all need their own bedroom, I was like, oh, he's starting to say no thank you.
I could see how the thought of five kiddos at a time, like, why does it have to be five at a time? That seems like a big stretch to go from none to five. Like,
I think so.
Like, I'm wondering if even those services would even allow that, like, at that rate.
I don't know. Like, I can't even adopt a cat right now. I can't imagine five teenagers.
Yeah, so that was a lot, considering I don't even know if Michael wanted kids.
I don't either, now that you say that. Also, him waking her up out of a dead sleep to say, like, he's questioning everything and he doesn't know if he's ready for marriage. A little late. Really late, honestly, because this is your second chance at marriage. You could have said no thank you.
Facts.
So, a little bummed they didn't work, because, again, we want someone to fall in love. But it just wasn't meant for this season. It is what it is. So then there is an after party, which we kind of already discussed, about how Austin told his truth about the producer incident, group hangout, Claire sees text, you know, everything we just discussed. In that same episode, then Becca and Cam come on after Austin, because I'm assuming they can't be on the same stage together. This is where Becca tries to kind of interject again about what Cam is trying to explain on the after party, and she says, oh, like, that's a lie, I have the text to prove it. Cam turns to Becca, says, nice, well, I have the text in context. So clearly we're not done. Like, this argument is not done.
I think if we've learned anything in these moments, it's if you're gonna come at Cameron, you gotta bring it.
Long story short, don't come at Cam. So overall, I'm really bummed that this is the storyline for Claire. Like, this is it. Like, you meddling in everyone's relationship and then just lying the entire time. Like, that's what we end at with Claire. That's crummy.
What have you seen from just the community's response towards Claire and all these recent episodes?
Well, everyone's really over it.
Sure. Okay.
At this point, you know, we're all in the same boat of, like, it's too long. It's definitely too long for what it is. How there's, like, no one even at decision day. And then it having, like, seven episodes past decision day. And we have to wait so long for reunion and all of that. So everyone's over it. But there's a lot of interesting discord about who do you believe, Cam or Claire? And I gotta say, I believe Cam, and I just want to go back to this for one more second and say why. Not only is he, like, there's so much conviction in what he's saying and it feels like truth, but not only that, if Cam was a lying, manipulative, gaslighting guy, why is Claire trying to spend so much time with him? Why is she texting him on his birthday? Why is she checking on him after a surgery? Why are you constantly trying to be in this man's life? And all of your diary cams are like, oh, he didn't text me back. He didn't call me back. I mean, there's probably a reason. If he's such a horrible person and a liar, why are you trying to constantly be involved in his life?
I wanted to get your thoughts on something. We've had Decision Day, and there's been more than a handful of episodes after Decision Day. In my mind, I've always thought of Mavs as, you know, we get this introduction to these people and they're meeting their partner and they're going to go through this experience and find out if this is their person. Mm-hmm. And then obviously at the end, they decide if they would like to keep going or get a divorce. But I never really thought of it as following them after that, especially if they decided to get a divorce, because we no longer have this marriage aspect to the show. This is just now a single individual that's living their life. So in my mind, I always think of, why are we following them after that moment? It's like, what are your thoughts on that?
Very similar to how I feel about, like, there having to be friends hangouts at every single episode. Like, I don't like it. I'm here for couples. I'm here for love, not friends. I enjoy friends, but I'm not here for it. Also, we're following them after Decision Day, correct? Like, right now, that's what these episodes are. They're after Decision Day. So we're going to have a reunion. And then the episode after that is, where are they now? Like, what are we doing?
But is the where are they now...
Is that after the reunion?
Is that a combination of what we've been watching after Decision Day? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's too much.
3 months down the road. I mean, that could be interesting if it was like multiple months down the road.
But I would want that, like, not all of this in between.
Correct.
Give me Decision Day, reunion, and then maybe one where are they now?
Sure.
Great episode. Ended on a banger.
Decision Day was a fantastic episode.
Now, I know there have been a couple since Decision Day, but there wasn't really anything groundbreaking. The after parties were where it's at, but we mostly covered those two, like the big parts. So the goal is next week is we will just watch Reunion with you guys because it looks spicy. Cam looks like he's here with more receipts and I'm ready. Don't put baby in a corner. That's Cam. So we'll just do the live tweeting with you guys then and then get that episode out to you guys a little bit after.
We might talk a lot of shit, but we are very, very excited to be bringing you another episode or us recapping Married at First Sight. Thank you so much for sticking with us. For all of you that are also participating in March Madness, we will record an episode before this weekend's events very soon. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate all of you so much.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
See you later.